You're listening to local and regional news on KMUN. I'm Katie Frankowitz. U.S. Representative Val Hoyle is denouncing the Trump administration's military actions in Venezuela. The Springfield Democrat told KLCC Saturday she believes Trump has violated international law. She called captured Venezuelan leader Nicolas Maduro a murderous dictator. But she said it's the sole authority of Congress to decide whether to declare war.
I'm going to leave to go back to D.C. tomorrow and do everything possible to make sure that we don't get dragged down into another war for oil with a president who doesn't think that he needs to come to Congress or the American people for permission.
Hoyle said her colleagues will introduce a war powers resolution once Congress is back in session tomorrow. And she said they're looking into other strategies to stop the military action, including withholding funding. U.S. Senator Ron Wyden also issued a statement condemning Trump's actions. The Oregon Democrat called the president's military action in Venezuela illegal. In a statement, Wyden said, quote, "No matter what you think of Maduro, Trump's threat to run the country and put boots on the ground invites another quagmire that would come at a massive cost of lives and money, and that emboldens every authoritarian who seeks to attack a neighbor." Wyden called on congressional Republicans to check the president's actions, saying that if they didn't, Trump will see that as a green light to attack foreign nations, quote, "no matter how harmful that is to American interests." Protesters rallied in Eugene Saturday against military action in Venezuela. KLCC's Nathan Wilk reports.
More than 100 people gathered at the federal building in downtown Eugene, waving signs that read, "No war," and "It's just about oil." Santa Clara resident Lee Ann Joshua said the Trump administration's actions remind her of the 2003 invasion of Iraq. She said Congress needs to take its war powers back and withhold funding.
I would hope that someone would grow a spine, because it's a violation of the law and it's a violation of the Constitution. And the Republican Party has always said they're the party of law and order, and they're constitutionalists, and they're doing neither.
Democratic U.S. Representative Val Hoyle told KLCC Saturday that her colleagues will introduce a war powers resolution once Congress is back in session Tuesday. This is Nathan Wilk in Eugene.
This is KMUN News. I'm Skylar Butenchin. In the middle of what's predicted to be a bad flu season, Oregon school districts are facing low vaccination rates. Jefferson Public Radio's Jane Vaughn reports.
The Oregon Health Authority says at least 95% of kids should be vaccinated against diseases like polio and measles to reach herd immunity. But no counties in Southwest Oregon meet that threshold, according to state data from the 24-25 school year. Klamath County is the closest at 92%, but less than 82% of students in Josephine County received all required immunizations. Dr. Bob Dannenhofer, Douglas County's public health officer, worries about disease outbreaks at schools.
I'm old enough to remember a time when measles was around, and measles is a terrible disease. So what I always tell people who've not seen measles is that the least sick kid with measles is sicker than anybody you've seen in clinic this week.
In February, South Umpqua High School in Douglas County closed for days because more than half of students were out sick with the flu and other illnesses. I'm Jane Vaughn reporting.
A transportation tax hike is headed to the Oregon ballot later this year. That's after Republican organizers stopped it from becoming law this month. As Catherine Steyer Martinez reports, this political fight is already having impacts on local public transit across the state.
In Central Oregon, Cascades East Transit was planning to launch more rides to a rural neighborhood this year. Transit Director Bob Townsend says connecting Bend's outskirts to the city is a top priority.
It's in our 2040 Master Transit Plan. It comes up at numerous community forums, feedback, and things like that.
The hope was to use increased payroll tax money to launch the project, but now those plans are delayed at least 2 years. Transit managers in Salem, Tillamook, and Medford also say they've put planned services on hold because funding is so uncertain. Oregonians currently spend 1/10 of a penny for every dollar of their income to pay the state's transit tax. The hike headed to the ballot would double that rate. Catherine Steyer Martinez reporting.
The city of Florence, Oregon, will hold a town hall-style meeting today about whether to continue using private company Flock's automatic license plate reader cameras. KLCC's Rebecca Hansen-White reports.
Eugene, Springfield, and Lane County all ended their contracts with Flock after months of public outcry. Some Florence residents, such as Justin Ludwig, told their city council last month that they want Flock out of their community, too. He said he doesn't believe the company can keep its data out of immigration agents' hands, and it violates everyone's privacy.
People can choose not to carry cell phones or install ring cameras in their homes, but they need to use the roads to see their doctors or go to work and school. Our police cannot reasonably be expected to monitor access by out-of-state actors. That is not their job.
Flock has 4 of 6 planned cameras installed, including one at the junction of Highway 101 and 126. I'm Rebecca Hansen-White reporting.
10 years ago, a group of anti-government militants took over a federal wildlife refuge in Harney County, Oregon. As Conrad Wilson reports, for some, it was a protest against the government, the role it plays in managing public lands, and how its policies affect rural communities.
The armed standoff at the Malheur National Wildlife Refuge was led by folks from outside Harney County. Those who work near the refuge say a decade later, the occupiers' message didn't stick.
We were moving on even when it was happening.
Brenda Smith runs a nonprofit in Harney County that for years has hosted conversations between ranchers, conservation groups, and federal land managers. Republican State Representative Mark Owens also farms in the county.
Living through that and working through that, I don't think it was as impactful for the community as it was impactful for people watching the community.
The occupation lasted 41 days, and before it was over, the leaders were arrested and one was shot and killed by police. Conrad Wilson, Harney County, Oregon.
The Klamath Indigenous Land Trust has purchased 10,000 acres from the electrical provider PacifiCorp. The land is in and around the former reservoir footprints along the Klamath River, where 4 dams were recently removed. The purchase was funded by grants and an anonymous donation. The area is known for its crucial salmon habitat and cultural significance. The trust will now develop a land management plan for the area, including habitat recovery, cultural resource protection, fire management, and public access.
You're listening to local and regional news on KMUN. I'm Katie Frankowitz. Federal immigration officials detained 2 people, both men, on New Year's Day at the Emerald Heights apartment complex in Astoria. Astoria Police Chief Stacy Kelly confirmed that agents with Federal Immigration and Customs Enforcement had contacted local police prior to the arrests. Jenny Poole Radway, executive director for Consejo Hispano in Astoria, said in a statement that the incident at Emerald Heights was part of a, quote, broader pattern of enforcement actions that disrupt families and create fear across Clatsop County and the North Coast. No information was immediately available about the men's immigration status or why they were detained. The arrests come as North Coast communities have begun to see more regular ICE activity across the area since November. In other instances, the tactics used by ICE officers have prompted some local officials to speak out, and local law enforcement has expressed concern as well. On New Year's Day, an eyewitness said ICE officers were wearing identifying vests, but were masked when they made the arrests. The story comes to us in part through a news partnership with The Astorian, online at dailyastorian.com.
Clatsop Community College in Astoria is moving forward with developing Oregon's first maritime simulation training center. The proposed simulator would replicate the bridge of a large commercial vessel using 360-degree visual displays and realistic navigation systems. Students and working mariners will be able to practice emergency scenarios, ship handling, collision avoidance, and docking. Clatsop Community College President Jared Hoag says the simulator will position the school as a hub for workforce development, as maritime employers across the state face growing training and certification demands. Earlier this month, Hoag convened a summit with maritime industry leaders from across the region to gather input on the proposed simulator and to discuss training gaps, safety needs, and long-term workforce challenges. The college is pursuing a state match grant of up to $8 million for the project. In order to access that funding, the college must raise close to $3 million locally within the next year. This story comes to us through a news partnership with The Astorian. Read more online at dailyastorian.com.
In his final meeting as the mayor of the town of Cathlamet in Wakayakum County, Washington, David Olson deferred to the council to vote on and approve the 2026 budget and salary scale and finalize a franchise agreement with Wakayakum PUD. Olson had been critical of the agreement as it developed. At various points during the meeting, former councilmember Laurel Waller, participating in her final meeting as well, asked Olson if he intended to sign the PUD agreements. Olson assured her he would. In his final address as mayor, Olson noted several challenges ahead, including the completion of Waterfront Park. Cathlamet's new mayor is Nicholas Siebold. He served as a volunteer firefighter in Cathlamet since 2019 and is a former substitute teacher for the school district. One of his stated goals is to act as a facilitator in the town's government, saying he does not believe, quote, continued bickering will solve our problems. He says he will work towards building cohesive relationships. Olson and some other members of the council had strained and sometimes contentious relationships. This story comes to us through a news partnership with the Wakayakum County Eagle, online at waheagle.com. Turning now to regional news out of Washington State, here's Skylar Butenchin.
One of the first commercially viable fusion reactors in the United States is under construction in Chelan County, Washington, in the small, unincorporated community of Malaga. It's expected to be working by 2028, and its power will go to Microsoft. Washington is trying to become a hub for nuclear power, and the state is now home to multiple ventures involving smaller reactors. Fusion and small modular reactors are the emerging sources of nuclear power, and policymakers are looking at both. Many of the nation's largest tech corporations are also eager to find power for electricity-hungry data centers. Helion Energy began construction in July on the Malaga reactor site. The company says its long-term plan is to produce more reactors to be distributed worldwide. In October, U.S. Senator Maria Cantwell, along with other congressional members of both parties, announced the introduction of a bill to provide tax credits for fusion-related ventures. This story comes to us through a news partnership with the Chinook Observer, online at chinookobserver.com. High school seniors are staring down their last semester, but completions of FAFSA, that is, Free Application for Federal Student Aid, are dropping. Spokane Public Radio's Eliza Billingham reports how Washington State is trying to encourage every student to apply for the college aid they qualify for.
The January dip is well known to school counselors and administrators. It's when all the momentum built up in the fall to get students to complete FAFSA starts to drop off. At their last meeting of 2025, the Washington Student Achievement Council reiterated its goal to get 46,000 high school seniors to complete FAFSA. Council Research Associate Natalie Alvarado said they also want to close the gap between students who qualify for free and reduced lunch and those who don't.
FAFSA completion among free and reduced price lunch eligible students is 5 percentage points lower than those not eligible. So if we don't focus on this gap now, we're at risk of falling further behind on the students who need the aid the most.
Some initiatives are already working. Alvarado said after Nine Mile Falls School District got connected to one of the council's partnerships, its FAFSA completions shot up to 50% by the end of the year. That's compared to 11% the December before. Now, the Achievement Council is trying to keep the momentum alive during the January slump. Educators suggested reminding students that FAFSA made it easier to create an account by nearly halving the number of initial questions. Plus, completing FAFSA doesn't mean you're agreeing to go to college. It can just add to the number of options that a young person has, because the council says it's completely normal to not know what you want to do after graduation. I'm Eliza Billingham, reporting.
Local and regional news is brought to you by our news partners and by the KMUN News Team. That includes host and producer Skylar Butenchin, volunteer Sylvia Thorpe, and me, Katie Frankowitz. If you have a news tip or story idea, reach out to us. Email us at news1@kmun.org. That's news, the numeral 1, at kmun.org. That's all from us today. You're listening to KMUN.